You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening. It's What's the Buzz, our weekly chat with the New Zealand Drug Foundation.
So this week we have our fourth instalment of What's the Buzz, and I chat to Sarah Helm, Executive Director of the New Zealand Drug Foundation. This week we're talking about an alert regarding synthetic cannabinoids that went out in the Lower North Island yesterday, and we also touch on magic mushrooms as we enter shroom season. So I first just ask her to elaborate on the alert regarding synthetic cannabinoids.
A high alert came up just yesterday after some concern over synthetic cannabinoids and a particular batch of it that is linked to, very sadly, a death and also some hospitalisation. So probably start just by expressing my condolences to the loved ones and the people who knew the person who has lost their life. So synthetic cannabinoids, whilst the name sounds a bit like cannabis, and they have been created in order to mimic some of the effects of cannabis. Aside from that, it's kind of where the comparisons stop. So synthetic cannabinoids are dangerous and unpredictable substances, they're chemicals, and they can be fatal. Very commonly can cause somebody to pass out, and that can compound the harm because people get used to people passing out and then they fail to get the help for that person that's needed. So one of the main messages, aside from getting the message out that there is the synthetic cannabinoid doing the rounds, and this is particularly in the Lower North Island the alert's been issued for, so perhaps not where your listeners are, but it's something that we should be aware of at all times, that these chemicals can suddenly be a different version of the chemical or be higher dose and pretty much the dangerous all the time in any case. So if you see somebody passed out, frothing at the mouth, having severe mental distress or perhaps struggling to breathe, please call 111 and get help for that person. It used to be available in shops and that changed several years ago now. So some people kind of got addicted to it at that time. But by and large, people who are taking the substance are looking for the highest bang for their buck. And so the people who are attracted to the substance are people who are, you know, really suffering some of the worst social issues in New Zealand. So maybe they're suffering from insecure housing, trauma, etc., etc. So so we really, really encourage people that if they see somebody passed out, don't wait, call and get help all the time, but particularly at the moment and particularly in the Lower North Island.
Now, synthetic cannabinoids are illegal, right?
Yeah.
What makes them more lucrative than regular cannabis?
It's not exactly a direct trade-off. So like I said, they're the different substances. They're just cheaper and give a higher hit to the people who are looking to really get as out of it as they possibly can, perhaps for some, you know, good personal reasons. And so it's not necessarily about that. And we called for reform. So in 2018, very tragically, about 40 to 45 people lost their lives to synthetic cannabinoids. And so we called for change. And one of the changes that we called for has actually been implemented, and not only implemented, we're actually in the thick of it right now. So then the police, the National Drug Intelligence Bureau, Health and ourselves collaborate together on this early warning system that's been created. So that's what's kicked into gear in the last day or two. And so we do a few things. So first of all, police investigate the situation. NDIB, the drug intelligence folk, they put out the high alert. So that the warning that's come out, and we coordinate with them on those. And then we also have basically these local groupings, and there's one in Auckland as well, of frontline organisations, people working at the coalface with the people most at risk. And in the last couple of days, basically, my very small team have called as many people as they could, 42-ish organisations in about 24 hours, to do a couple of things. One is to find out any intel, so anything else we need to know about what might be happening on the ground. And the other thing is to share this warning and to encourage sharing of information So that's what's kicked into gear now to try and prevent any further deaths or harm here.
What would it take to get those products out of the market?
So just banning things doesn't really work. So it definitely it's good to have them off the shelves out of what was being sold in dairies. But we think that there are a number of things that still need to be implemented. So this sounds slightly waffly, so forgive me for this, but basically we want to see an investment in gathering information and service design to really get in front of the issue, rather than whilst we've got this sort of early warning thing and we communicate with people, we're largely being an ambulance kind of bottom of the cliff response approach. We want to get ahead of it, and that has worked in some countries with some drugs. So for example, injected drug use in Switzerland, they did a whole service design where they really understood why and how people were coming to use, and it stopped a growth in use and stopped death. The other things that we would like to see, so one of the things that would help would be the provision, the availability. So availability is one of the issues, because it's cheap and accessible, this stuff, for those people. So if we had lower harm substances, some, not all of them, would switch back, but people might choose not to take it, and some would switch off of synthetic cannabinoids. So for example, cannabis itself. Secure housing, mental health support, having support available within those transitional and emergency housing providers, reducing stigma, reducing poverty, and actually just that stuff that we talk about a lot here, which is there's no help and support available for drug users until you get to the addiction end of the spectrum. So more information support, harm reduction advice, assistance for people to deal with their drug use as it becomes problematic.
Okay, now I'd like to shift on to the other topic we were planning on talking about today, which is shrooms, as we're coming into shroom season.
Yeah, so maybe we could talk about, I thought maybe we could talk about both hallucinogens that are quite used in New Zealand, the psilocybin mushrooms and LSD. There's some similarities between them in that they both sort of produce a sort of euphoria and hallucinations in users. With the shrooms, there are a couple of main kind of risks with them. One is psychological, so the psychological effects. Maybe if you're feeling down or you have an underlying mental health condition, not such a good idea to take hallucinogens full stop. And or over time, the psychological effects. The other is picking the wrong stuff. So we can't, in drug checking, check plant material, unfortunately. Our machines don't do plant material. So you can't bring it in and get it checked by us. The best thing, the most reliable thing you can do, really, is to get a book with a super reliable book with a super high quality photo and check that you are taking the right thing, because one of the main risks is really picking the wrong stuff. It turns out to be toxic. Something to bear in mind is that the size of the mushrooms doesn't indicate the strength of the mushrooms. So just take really small quantities, and it'll last for about 2 to 8 hours.
Now, I'd like to ask, and this is obviously more of an opinion-based question, but at the Drug Foundation, do you guys generally believe that mushrooms deserve to be classed as a Class A drug?
Our classification system is meant to be based on evidence, but appears to be a little resemblance to it. Definitely both LSD and mushrooms are Class A substances, but the risk of overdose, for example, which might be one of the things you're super concerned about, or risk of addiction is pretty low. And the risk, a bit like, we've talked about with other substances, more around taking the wrong stuff or taking too much, quantity. It doesn't feel like it should be a Class A drug. Yeah. So we would love to see, first of all, the classification system is all about convicting people, which we're not supportive of anyway, but the classification system should be based on evidence, and it's and it should be reviewed entirely, in our opinion. And so what we would say, instead of saying it should be this classification or another classification, is it should go through a scientific process and be reclassified accordingly.
Okay, now I would also like to look at the research that has been done into mushrooms, but also psychedelics, as something used to help treat illnesses such as PTSD or depression. Do you guys have a lot of information on that?
I can't say I do, to be honest. I do know it's an emerging piece of evidence that's coming about. We know that psilocybin, LSD, and of course cannabis can have medicinal properties, and increasingly people are researching their impacts on people's mental health from that kind of a therapeutic perspective, and sometimes the stigma around the substance themselves gets in the way of us finding those medicinal properties.
I think with mushrooms, most of the research has been directed towards treating PTSD, where it was found to be fairly effective, but unfortunately, you know, research that actually was started in the 60s came to a very sudden halt due to the war on drugs and all that. And when we look back at the war on drugs, that was a time where psychedelics were beginning to become very popular, and so they kind of shaped the way that we think about drugs. And so maybe perhaps that is another reason why, technically speaking, they're seen as a Class A drug. Psychedelics having this completely sort of altering effect on how you perceive this, your surroundings and the world around you.
They do have a very altering effect. We wouldn't think they're a super high risk substance, but they can be, because we don't know what they're like if you mix it with other things. So we would really encourage people not to mix, and to take small quantities, check you're taking the right thing, and use small amounts. Yeah, and LSD, well, we just touched on it. I reckon that one of the main risks, again, with it is psychological, but also taking the wrong thing. It's quite commonly substituted for something that's quite dangerous called N-bomb. So if you can go to a drug checking place, go and get your LSD tested before you take it. Obviously not encouraging people to take it. And then the other thing is another backup way is LSD isn't meant to taste. So if it's bitter, it's a spitter, is one of the catchphrases that people use around the world. So yeah, just something to bear in mind is, again, small quantities, don't mix it, get it tested if you can, etc.
This is The Wire, and that was What's the Buzz with the New Zealand Drug Foundation.
Why should you want to know?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.